This podcast is intended for adult audiences only and contains explicit language in spicy situations. And we do not replace any advice of professionals, and the views and opinions expressed by our guests do not reflect our own.
Welcome to the Pineapple Express podcast, and I'm your host, Kylie, aka Sexy Swinger Chick.
And I'm Brad, aka Brad the Space Cadet.
Journey with us as we navigate an ethical non-monogamy, sex positivity, sex work, and relationship advice as millennial swingers.
Explore with us as we share some of our upside down pineapple adventures with you.
All aboard the Pineapple Express.
Hello, my upside down pineapple friends. This is your host, Kylie, Sexy Swinger Chick. And today I have a very interesting podcast. So this is probably a very new concept for so many of you, as it's a new concept for me. But I'm learning, I'm growing, and I have been very drawn to... So I found her on social media. Her name is Annie Undone. And I was like, I think somebody like had shared something of hers or something. And then I started following her and I'm like, oh, wow. So she talks about a lot about relationship anarchy, which was always something that I never really understood. So I'm assuming that if like I don't understand it, you guys may not understand it as well. And maybe you do. And that's also cool, too. I know that I like... did some content around it and I just like explained it. So really quick, I'm just going to define it. And this is based on, where's the website? Because I want to make sure that it's like, right. Okay, we'll do Wikipedia, which is like, I guess, kind of reputable. But relationship anarchy, or sometimes it's abbreviated into RA, is the application of anarchist principles to intimate relationships. Its values include autonomy and anti-hierarchical practices, anti-normativity, and community independence. So essentially, it's not always non-monogamous. So, and me and Annie talk about this, but it's not always non-monogamous, but there is a distinction with like polyamory, solo play, swinging, and other forms of dating. But basically, it just takes out any like hierarchies, and it's the autonomy of like limiting rules. So yeah, we talk a lot about this, and it's very interesting, and it's something that I'm, you know, currently just kind of looking at to see, okay, how could that work? You know, I was actually drawn to the practice because I was talking with like a very polyamorous couple, and they were like, be careful what kind of content you listen to, because there's a lot of like relationship anarchists out there, and they just are like, you know, very much... just their way or no way. So I was like, well, I don't really see it like that. I see it as like they're just kind of doing the same thing as we are as swingers. So me and Annie talk a lot about that. So I hope you guys enjoy. And then I'm going to link all of her stuff in the show notes. So like her website and her Instagram, where she does most of her you know, she puts most of her free content on there. And then she also has a Patreon, which, speaking of Patreons, so I'm actually developing my own Patreon right now because I'm really trying to like move away from the whole structure of like spicy creator as a swinger content creator. Not because like I'm against it, because I'm totally not. But what I don't like for me personally about it is that it takes away from my swinging experience, and it makes it feel less organic to me, that's just something that I found that is, I don't like. It doesn't mean that it's like that for everybody, but that's how I feel about it at this moment. And also, like, I would just much rather people see my content for, like, the educational value of it, as opposed to like the sexy, spicy value of it, which I love being sexy. Don't get me wrong. I'm a sex worker, and like, I just really enjoy being a sexy swinger. Obviously my name's Sexy Swinger Chick, but like, yeah, it's just something that I'm moving away from. So I feel like Patreon is probably a better option, where I can provide that sort of content as opposed to like the spicy, sexy content. So, without further ado, here is Annie Undone. And if you guys are interested in learning more about my Patreon or like letting me know what you would like to see on there, please feel free to reach out to me. All right, you guys. And here we are with Annie Undone. There we go. All right, my Pineapple Express friends. So I have an awesome guest today. I have Annie Undone from Instagram. So she is an artist and a writer. And basically, well, you know what? I will let you explain what brought you into the non-monogamy space and, you know, what you do. And yeah.
Okay. So I started the Instagram, I guess, like 2.5 years ago, probably. Because at that time, I was transitioning from like a more non-monogamous space into a more polyamorous space. But I came into the non-monogamous space actually via BDSM. That's what got me into kind of first a curious space and then a swinging space, a more non-monogamous space, a polyamorous space. And now I'm a relationship anarchist. I like to joke that I've engaged in like every relationship style there is. But primarily, I'm a writer, right? Like, I'm a writer by trade. That's what I've been doing for the last 15 years. So this is kind of an extension of that, is like taking my experience, condensing it down into the smaller content that you see on Instagram. And then I also have a lot of long form content on my Patreon as well.
This is a swinger podcast, right? And primarily, yeah, the audience is swingers. So like when we talk about these awesome non-monogamous structures, you know, and relationship structures that might be different from swinging, it's kind of new to everybody. So, and especially like relationship anarchy, because of course it's not a new concept, but in, I would say, spaces like where it's more normalized, it is kind of a new concept, you know. So can you just explain to my audience what relationship anarchy is, and like how does it differ from traditional relationship structures? And what I mean by that is, of course, monogamy.
Right. So I think what's interesting about relationship anarchy in particular is that it is structureless, right? Like, it's not a relationship style. It's a philosophy that underlies whatever style you want to be in. So you can be monogamous and be a relationship anarchist, or you can be polyamorous and be a relationship anarchist. It really means kind of the same thing it means in governmental anarchy, which is just like, it is directly benefiting the people in it. It's tailor-made for the people in it. It's the same way in relationship anarchy as a relationship philosophy. So we're just talking about tailor-made relationships for the people in them. And that can be anything that you want it to be, as long as it is explicit and consensual with whomever you're doing it with.
So when you say like you can be monogamous in a relationship anarchist, would that mean like if me and my partner sat down and I was like, I really like don't want us to have sex with other people and like no emotional bonds, and he agrees to that and he's like, oh yeah, I also want that too. You know, like, is that what that sounds like with monogamy?
So like if you were a relationship anarchist, but you were also monogamous, the main tenet of relationship anarchy, and I encourage everyone to go read the Relationship Anarchy Manifesto, just Google it. It's right there. Very short, awesome document. But it's about deconstructing like your mononormative and heteronormative like undertones of society, and like overt and covert, right? Because we're sent a lot of messages. Now that can mean different things for different people, right? This is like the Constitution. This is my interpretation of it. You know, someone else could read it and get something else entirely out of it. But when you're talking about like deconstructing mononormative and heteronormative culture specifically, right? That can look a lot of different ways, but there's some things that you can look at right off the bat, right? You know, how do you feel about your partner having friendships and relationships with other people that are, you know, kind of maybe non-traditional? We're talking about time entitlements, right? Do you do everything together? Like, if you're a husband, are you letting your wife run your schedule, or can you do that yourself, right? Like, what are the gender roles that we're taking on, the attitudes that we're taking on? Like, one of the questions that I ask myself the most when I'm working to deconstruct something mononormative especially is, is this something that I actually want, or is this something I think I'm supposed to want? Right? Like, and some of this is, you know, jealous notions. Some of this is, do I have to live with a partner just because we're together? Right? Like, there's a lot of directions that you can deconstruct that in that fall outside of the polyamorous or non-monogamous or monogamous paradigms, right? So this is a philosophy that you can apply no matter what kind of relationship you're in. We talk about like how you see your friendships, right? Most of us naturally in a mononormative way will say, my relationship with my boyfriend or girlfriend is the relationship of my life. Why? That's very mononormative. Do you not need support from other people in your life? Hierarchically, where does your family fall? Where does your partner fall? Where do your children fall? Right. So I think it's kind of, for me, a leveling of the playing field when it comes to all of our relationships. And I do that by decentralizing romance and centralizing myself in the seat of power.
That's kind of where I just had this conversation with my partner last night, because he was like, I just don't see you enough. And I'm like, he just like was not feeling intimate with me. And I was just like, babe, I love you. You're amazing. And you are everything to me. But like, also you're not. And he's like, well, that just feels really selfish. And I'm like, but I've deconstructed my own codependencies from you. Like, I'm dependent on more than just my romantic relationship. Like, I'm dependent on my friendships and my relationship with my family and my children and, you know, my communities, you know? So like, I think that that's really important to recognize, like, just because society wants us to be codependent doesn't mean that we have to be.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge part of it, especially for monogamous couples. Like, if a couple is monogamous and they want to open up, I actually suggest relationship anarchy now as the starting point. I feel like what generally happens, what you generally see, right? Or what I've generally seen is a monogamous couple is interested in opening up. They come into swinging because that makes a lot of sense. Like, and swinging is great for a lot of reasons, right? Especially like emotional exclusivity, right? Like, this is, and for some people, that's the dividing line between monogamy and non-monogamy, is that emotional and romantic exclusivity. And so couples come into, I always joke that there's like a swinging to polyamory pipeline, and then there's the polyamory to healthy relationships pipeline. And then at the end, they all lead to relationship anarchy, right? And it's a little bit of a joke, like I poke fun at it, but I feel like we see relationship anarchy as being some kind of endpoint in that journey. I'm suggesting it as a starting point, more so because if you can deconstruct exactly what you're talking about, right? The codependency that we feel in a couple. And it's like largely not our fault. I remember I was dating this guy once, and I was like, his name is Tyler. And I was like, you know, look, you're very codependent with your wife. I don't want to be codependent with you. Like, this doesn't feel good for me. And his response was, this is the single most insulting thing you could say to me. And I still laugh when I think about it, because I'm like, show me a couple who's been married who doesn't have some marker of this, right? Like, it's ingrained. It's just part of the societal experience that we are taught to want. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, as long as we acknowledge that we're trying to move away from that. So I think that that's kind of the first place to start with this. And it's harder than we think. Like, you know, the difference between interdependence and codependence is very subtle. Mm-hmm. So it's tough, you know? And so I think, you know, when we talk about like, yeah, I want to be interdependent with you. I want you to be reliable and consistent and all these wonderful things. But I don't want to feel responsible for your emotions, or I don't want you to be entitled to my time. I mean, we're talking about a lot of nuance there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like, but that's what I love about relationship anarchy. And one of the things that like, I'm just so interested in learning about it, because I think that it really does start to deconstruct societal, like, unhealthy things that we've learned as a society in relationships. And I think that's so cool. And that's, I mean, that's non-monogamy in general, right? But like, relationship anarchy does a really good job of that. So like, how did you personally become interested in relationship anarchy? Like, what led you there?
Yeah, I think, well, I was still married, so I've been divorced. But I was still married when it kind of like came on my radar. And I think some of that was the beginning of wanting to like dismantle hierarchy, right? Like I was like, I don't think that I want to rely on structure was the kind of immediate thing in that was like, I don't want to rely on we're married, so this is what's expected, right? Like that was the starting point of that. And I think when I was beginning to want to kind of like decentralize like romance, like get away from hierarchy, once I left the marriage, that was exponentially easier for me to do, to assert that that was what I wanted. But I think as I was trying to like define and create what felt like a sustainable dynamic to me, there wasn't a clear model for that, right? Like I had had a lot of experiences and I was trying to think like, okay, because like, you know, I don't know if there's a word for this, like in the swinger community, like in BDSM, we call it frenzy. In polyamory, we call it NRE, right? Like when you first start like swinging or like having new sexual experiences with people, it's a really like there's an energy about it, right? But it's not necessarily like a sustainable energy. You have to pull back a little bit at some point. And so as I was trying to find the balance of what was good for me, and like some of my goals became center myself and my child, right? Live non-traditionally, but also have partnerships outside of the norm. And that's why I think I was more called towards relationship anarchy, because it allowed me to hit those points without boxing me into polyamory or monogamy or X, right? Like, because I don't fit in any of those boxes anymore.
Yeah, I think that's really cool about relationship anarchy. Like, you don't have to be one. I mean, you can, however it works for you personally. Like, it's a very personal thing, I feel like.
Yes.
I feel like in society, relationships are like you and this partner and that partner, and it's not centered in you. So I really love that.
So today I'll just so like your listeners would be like, well, what does that even mean?
Right.
So that you know, like what the setup looks like. Right. So I obviously like left my marriage. I was no longer living with my ex-husband. So now I'm living with my mom and my daughter. That's at my primary residence. Right. And that's where I am most of the time. And she's 9. So it's like the 3 generations of women. And that's great. Like that's a very fun intergenerational way to live. Like people see it as very temporary, I guess. Like, oh, you got divorced, you had to move in with your parents. No, we love it for the most part. You know, like any roommate situation. And then I have a boyfriend, and I have a queer platonic partner. They live 2 hours north together. They don't have a romantic connection to each other, but we all used to get on pretty well. And so that's kind of the setup now. And I come up here to be with both of them, right? So that's a very, like, there's a lot of rules around that that we break, for lack of a better word, right? My boyfriend living with a woman who we both used to sleep with, who I'm still partnered to, but they don't share a romantic connection, but also him and I not living together, right? Not feeling a need to escalate the relationship in this way. And being very comfortable with that as a setup overall.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very, you know, that's not the norm. And I think that that's really cool that you're just like able to not exist in that norm. Like you can just for you, you know, you can feel good in your relationship structure or lack thereof relationship structure. So
yeah.
What kind of like misconceptions? Cause like, if I'm going to be honest with you, like 100% authentic and honest, I have like spoken with polyamorous people, right? Because like I'm a swinger. So the only information that I really get about different relationship dynamics come from like A, social media, or like B, talking to people. And a lot of people are like, well, don't end up like one of those relationship anarchists because it's their way or no way. And like they sit there and they talk about hierarchies and like, they don't know it works for everybody, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right. So like, I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions out there with not just in the non-monogamous space, but like all spaces about relationship anarchy. Can you speak a little bit on those misconceptions?
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's true, right? Like, and there's some reasons why. So I'll talk about some of those too. Like, I feel like the criticisms you hear most are it's chaos. And it's just like, you do whatever, people just do whatever they want with zero responsibility to anybody, right? And the problem is that some people use relationship anarchy to justify their bad behavior because it isn't clearly defined and because it's outside of the norm. People exploit that confusion, right? It's so much so that I know people in the who are relationship anarchists in the polyamorous space who won't even use the term because they don't want to be associated with that kind of chaos, and they don't want to have to do the work to explain themselves all the time, right? And I think that's unfortunate because the one thing I always say, right, is like good relationships are good relationships. The end goal of any like dynamic is to have a healthy relationship. So if somebody's treating you badly and blaming it on a relationship style, like that's a red flag, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's start there. Like if somebody were to come up to you and be like, hey, Kylie, like I want to sleep with you, and because you're a swinger, you owe it to me. No. That's bad behavior. Knock it off. Right. Like,
right. And it's like with swinging too, though, if you think about it, you know, if you're justifying like going out and not your partner, not really consenting to want to swing, but like you're manipulating them into it, like you can't justify the swinging. You know what I mean? Like you can't justify, okay, well, we're swingers, but it's really just so that we can have threesomes so that I can be with women. You're not allowed to have your own, you know, bodily autonomy, right? We're going to do this to have threesomes, but it's really just me sleeping with other women. It's the same thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's important to like define, like if someone's using any type of relationship style or lifestyle markers to like be badly behaved, they're just badly behaved. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and I am always like, I'm always of the mind of like any relationship outside of the structure of what we define as monogamy or norm, right? It's still intentional and caring. Like relationship anarchy takes just as much work and explicit communication, right? Like you should never be wondering, like someone who says, I'm a relationship anarchist, so like I don't define my relationships. No, that's bullshit. Like you still deserve to know who you are to somebody. You don't deserve, like, and people should also feel just as enfranchised in the relationship anarchy space to set their own parameters, right? Like this happens in polyamory all the time. And it's something I really disagree with, right? Is like, you've got a person who's like, well, I've been polyamorous for 10 million years, so this is how I do it. And someone else feels like they have to lock into or match that style. And I say this as a person who is guilty of that, right? Like mm-hmm. I've expected other people to participate in kitchen table dynamics, which is like, oh, we're all hanging out together, right? Because that was the style that I practiced. And I kind of had this expectation of other people to do that, right? Like that's toxic. That's something toxic that I did when I was coupled, and couples have a tendency to do this, right? I think that we have to be enfranchising people to say, this is how I do this. How do you do this? And how do we compromise, right? Mm-hmm. So nobody should be leading you in relationship anarchy to say like, I'm a relationship anarchist, so let's just do whatever I want at any time. Okay, sure. Good for you. Now you're in a relationship with me, person who doesn't like when you do whatever you want at any time. So if we can't come to an agreement on how do we function in relationship, then we don't belong together, right? So just because there's no prescribed format doesn't mean that there's no like discussion, that anyone can do whatever they want. It just means that we're coming together to make the format. Not that the format doesn't exist at all.
Right. So it's, in essence, it's not as chaotic as people make it out to be.
Relationships should not feel like chaos.
No.
No matter what your relationship style is. And I know that there's always somebody who's like, oh, but my relationship style is chaos. Okay. You can do that, but you still need the agreements of your partners to be a little chaos pixie, right?
Right. If you like chaos, then that is... You know, yeah, that's for you. Like, I totally get it. Like, it's just so funny because, again, and I feel like with you know, non-monogamy in general, everybody has a way that they do it, and their way is, and I mean, this is even like with swinging and like swinger terms, right? Like,
yeah.
If you are using the wrong term for like soft swap or full swap, like they come, the other swingers come at you and they're like, that's wrong. And it's like, well, not necessarily. Like, you have to understand that everybody's going to define things, whether it be
yeah.
relationship styles or their relationship style or even a word.
Yeah. I mean, because that's the thing is like, I would always tell people like, hey, if you're going into like, you want to have a group sex experience, like start with a soft swap and see how you feel, but make sure that you and the other couple are like on the same page as far as what a soft swap is.
Right. Right? So
because
that you know
you
what that is.
Giving that husband a blowjob and that was not on the menu, you're going to be in big trouble.
Exactly. Exactly. So like, I think that that's so important with all of these like relationship styles and what we're talking about is like, it's really important to define that within your relationship structures. And don't worry. I mean, there's people, there's content creators who are going to maybe give you their perspective on it. Like, we're giving our perspective right now.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that like what we're saying is like the Bible. Like, you have to right. just do it like us, you know?
And I think that that's like, this is one of the issues, right? Is like when you're looking at different content creators, like we all represent different ideals, different ways of doing things, different things that work for us, right? I don't think any one of us is out here going, hey, like, here's how I do it and do it like that, right? It's here's how I do it. Take what you want from it. Synthesize your own experience and have a great time.
Right. And just whatever you can take from that, take from it. And if you don't take anything from it, then that's fine too.
Exactly.
But like, I just think, especially like, because I've been in spaces as a swinger in a lot of non-monogamous spaces. And a lot of times they're like, well, you're still monogamous and you're still doing this and like this. And it's like, we can't define things for other people and how other people's relationships works. We can only define it for us. So,
yeah. And I think it's also important. Like, some swingers do consider themselves monogamous
mm-hmm.
and that is okay. Like, you are allowed to consider yourself monogamous, whether or not you have sexual exclusivity. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like also a very important distinction, because for some people in the swinging space, their monogamy is important to them. It denotes something to them, right? And if they consider themselves non-monogamous, that's also very valid.
Yeah. And like, I mean, also that's like saying, what's wrong with being monogamous? There's absolutely nothing wrong with monogamy.
No, absolutely not. And I think that that's like, for me, that's one of like the key, like that's the key for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is like, a lot of people could look at my content and say, oh, like you're pushing a style, right? Like you're advocating for polyamory, or you're pushing relationship anarchy, or whatever it is. No, I want you to know you have a choice, right? Like, I have engaged in literally every relationship style, almost every sexual style, like, and I think they all have their merits, right? I'm less yeah. interested in what you choose to do with your body and your relationships, and more interested in the fact that you know you have a choice to begin with.
Absolutely. And I think that that's probably the most important aspect of all of this, is like, you have a choice. And, you know, if you do relationship anarchy and then you're like, hey, this actually doesn't work for me, swinging works for me. Like
yeah.
that works for our relationship.
And you could be a relationship anarchist and be a swinger, right? Like, swinging can be an activity that you love taking part in, and you can be, consider yourself monogamous, and you can be a relationship anarchist, right? Like, it's, these things are not exclusive to one another, right? Like, to me, relationship anarchy is the philosophy that underpins any style you're in, and any style you're in can have any features you like.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just based on mutual agreement.
So if you had like any like advice for somebody who's like looking to transition into relationship anarchy, what would that advice be?
I would say really start with deconstructing your mononormative and heteronormative, like the markers of that, right? Like, the biggest barrier for couples opening any relationship is, as I already said, is like their codependency, and these things like creep in. So like, you know, really looking at your entitlements with somebody, like, and time is a big one, right? But one of like the things, and this is like, this is the reason I talk about time entitlements so much is because I struggle with them so much. And the story I think that gets stuck in my head is just because you have free time, you, my boyfriend or girlfriend has free time, that free time is automatically my time, right? Or if I always tell this story about like the time that my boyfriend had these three family events within 2 weeks and didn't invite me to any of them. And I was like, yo, how come you didn't like invite me to, like, it feels like you deliberately didn't invite me to these family events. And he was like, oh yeah, no, I deliberately didn't invite you. And I was like, why? And he was like, well, it seemed like a lot of emotional management and I didn't want to manage like my emotions on top of like your emotions. And I was like, oh. And he was like, well, are you upset about it? And I asked myself the question, do I really want to go to these events or do I think I should want to go to these events?
Right.
Right. And I was like, no, I don't think I'm upset about this. It doesn't mean something I don't think it means, right? Like, you're not like afraid to take me to these events. And he's like, oh, no, I just don't want to. And I was like, oh, okay, well, then that's something different as long as it doesn't mean, right? So, but generally you would think as a couple that you would present at an aunt's birthday party or whatever kind of things that you're expected to show up as a couple. Otherwise, people are going to think that something's wrong, mm-hmm. right? So it's little things like that. Like, it's keeping your own schedule, right? It's being responsible for your own emotions. It's saying, hey, I have this friend of the opposite sex and they're just a friend, right? Like, it's deconstructing all those tiny things that we do, right? And unfortunately, I think, you know, women do a lot of emotional work for men. It's yeah. deconstructing some of that. It's not giving them breaks when they do dumb sexist shit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's all of those little things. And I think that that is a really good place to start. And like, do you have your own hobbies outside of your relationship, your own interests? Like, right. you know, I think that even for me, like the baggage that I have around that, right, is that I gave up a lot of time. I was partnered for 19 years with my ex-husband and I put a lot of things on hold for that, right? I was told, you don't need to go back to college. You've got me. You should stay home. You should turn down jobs, right? Things like that. And I think a lot of people in a mononormative mindset, of course you would pull for the team, pull for the family. This is how we do it, right? So how are you putting away your ambitions and desires in service of a mononormative, you know, narrative that's being crafted maybe for you mm-hmm. instead of with you, right?
Yeah. And like, that's something that I feel like me and my partner struggle with as still, like, I'm at this place where like, I know who I am and I know where my communities are and stuff. And he doesn't. And I'm like, okay, bro, you have to find yourself now. Like, you have to find things that make you happy because there could be one day where I'm not here anymore. Right. Okay. Like, and that's morbid and sad to think about, but like, you cannot get your happiness from another human. Like yeah. you have to get that. And that's because like, that puts a lot of expectations on them. Like, that puts on me a lot of like time expectations. Like, we're talking about, like, you know, okay, so I have the day off, so now I'm supposed to spend that with you instead of like doing things that make me feel whole, right? Because yeah. we're not whole, right?
I think that's why that time one, it always comes back to that, is it's like, are you enfranchised to do things? Like, are you asking your partner for permission? Or are you informing them of like what you're doing with your time, right? And so like, and I think there's this in the Relationship Anarchy Manifesto, there's like a section that's like fake it till you make it. And, you know, I don't think that we always want to strive to be authentic, but with time entitlements, I think this one actually works. And the sentence I use is, it's your time, you can choose to spend it however you'd like. Sometimes when somebody chooses, and my boyfriend's a great example of this because he's very like definitive about like, I'm doing this and like, I'm really sorry that that's not landing for you, but this is not a statement on my feelings, right? It's a really hard one to integrate because we do take time as a statement on somebody's feelings, right? And so deconstructing that has been a really tough one for me. So when I say it's your time, you can do with it what you want, it feels like I'm faking it. But then when we come back together and I realize that the feelings have not changed because I lost an afternoon or 3 days with this person, it's a self-soothing feeling, right? Like you're like, okay, I did it and I'm getting it, right? And it's part of that. And this is when I talk about centralizing yourself as part of relationship structure. It's secure attachment to the self. Yeah. You don't have to have achieved that in a relationship in order to achieve it in yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel like for some people listening to this who have maybe very monogamous kind of backgrounds or are just diving into non-monogamy, that's going to sound really selfish. But I think in a way, it's actually the opposite of selfishness. Yeah.
And I think it does. Well, we're taught this, right? I mean, mm-hmm. This is like, I remember in the beginning, when I was predominantly into swinging and just like non-monogamy, but no emotional attachments. And the person who brought me into like non-monogamy, she's a swinger and a really good friend. And she was like, do you ever just like be riding in your car and be like, oh my God, I like fucked these people last night. And I was like, oh my God, yes. Like, there's this sense of like guilt and like, yeah. Oh my God, I did this thing. And mine is always that like, I'd be like walking through the grocery store and like looking at all the people and be like, can they tell?
Like, do they know I was just in an airtight last night? Like,
do they know that I was like eating pussy? Like, can they tell? And like, no, they can't. But like, there's that feeling and it's not different, right? Like it's not different when we start doing anything new, right? Like sex is a very concrete concept and like, we know we're doing something like dirty and forbidden, but it also feels good. The problem with like things like concepts like secure attachment or letting go of time entitlements, it does not feel immediately good, right? Yeah. Like if you got an orgasm every time you let go of a time entitlement, I guarantee you we'd all be doing whatever we wanted, right? Like,
right.
But it doesn't feel immediately great like that. It's one of those things where you have to really see the long view. And I think for me, that happened when I left my marriage because I was like, shit, like you can be in a relationship for this long and have it not be a sure thing. Right. So like, how do I bolster that? Well, I bolster that by still believing in love, still believing in romanticism, but giving it a different place in my life and working to deconstruct those concepts.
So I do want to ask, because I'm in this space of like equitability and, you know, diversity and inclusion and all that, especially like bringing that to the swinger community. Because I feel like that's something that we can really like work on together and as a community, like build on that. So can you talk about a little bit how you feel that like relationship anarchy can contribute to a more like equitable and compassionate society? And what kind of role does it play in like those systems of oppression, especially like in monogamous spaces and in societally?
Yeah. So like, you know, for me, like sometimes I'll get this question of like, is your page political? Right. My page does not seem on the surface to be especially political. Mm-hmm. But the guiding mission of my page is you deserve to be yourself. And for me, the personal is always political, right?
Yeah.
And this comes all the way back to the individual level. So by living in ways that are personally powerful, we find joy. Joy is flying in the face of oppression, right? Like for me, this is the way, right? Because it's contagious. And like everyone's version of joy is going to be different, right? So I feel like we have to make sure that people are personally empowered to make choices that lead them toward joy. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that relationship anarchy offers to us. Now, I mean, there are people speaking directly about like their experience as more marginalized groups and things like that. Like decolonizing love is one. Like they talk about relationship anarchy and they talk about colonization and like dismantling those systems and, you know, coming out of systems of oppression. And, you know, I default to people like that because they're very good at speaking on those things. So I definitely encourage people to check out pages like that. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, this is about personal empowerment and taking up our own liberty, right? And feeling enfranchised in that, no matter what your relationship structure is, like getting down to the root of this is my life, this is my relationship, and I'm gonna live it however feels good for me and live it out loud, right? Like the thing that bothers me the most about all of us, right, whether we are swinging, whether we're monogamous, but like the fact that we have to have these types of communities that are basically undercover, right? Like
right.
We're hiding in plain sight. It's bullshit, right? Like we should be able to be ourselves and live in society without getting side eye, having our motherhood called into question, having our relationships questioned, right? So any ways that we can do this to further the agenda of this being an option for people without feeling like they have to hide it, right? That's the hope, right? Like the
right.
hope is that we can all just be ourselves and have our joy without having to feel like we have to fiercely protect that and be ostracized.
Right. And I feel like that's the mission of, you know, a lot of us who are in the content creating space is like, we're not, again, like we're not out here telling you like, this is the way and the truth in the life. You have to be non-monogamous. You have to be just like us, you know, and you have to do our way. Exactly. What we're doing is like, we're just out there and we're just like making fun videos that help us be creative. And then like, but we're also being our authentic self in the hope that like others will also feel some sort of validation from that. And also learn that like, this is an option. Yeah. Oh my God. I never would have known like 10 years ago that swinging was an option. I thought it was people putting keys in a bowl and like, like that. My grandparents at these 70s style, like I had no, because I didn't have a reference. We didn't have TikTok. We didn't have, I mean, we had Instagram, but it wasn't like this, you know, like there was really no education because it was so underground. And now we, you know, after COVID, we're seeing this spike and people are talking about it now in 2021, 7% of like non-monogamous relationship were on the rise of people who identified as like non-monogamous. 7% spike in that. That's doesn't seem like a lot, but that's a huge spike. Okay, guys. So listen, I know the audio quality on Annie's end is a little wonky. Don't let that take away from the amazingness of this podcast. I tried to edit it as best as I could, and this is what I got with it. But there was like some roboting, which obviously has something to do with like connection or microphone or whatever. But please don't let that take away from the quality of this amazing podcast with her. So I just wanted to segue into this like last question, because I feel like we've been chatting about it, like especially both being content creators. How do you like envision the future of relationship anarchy, and what impact do you hope that it will have on our society? And I mean, even like what impact do you personally, as a relationship anarchist who is out there and destigmatizing, like how do you hope to have an impact on society?
Really, this is an interesting place to talk about this, especially because it's like swingers. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest places I would like to see relationship anarchy make a dent is in non-sexual relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of aromantic and asexual people who want to engage in all types of relationships. And I think that those types are particularly suited for polyamory, but also suited for relationship anarchy. And I think that it enfranchises all kinds of non-traditional partnerships in terms of queer platonic partnerships and romantic relationships with asexual people. And I think that allosexual people or even megasexual people can really benefit from being in these types of relationships. Like, I know for me, I had a BDSM relationship with an asexual man, and it was really life-changing for me. It introduced me to a whole new side of myself that was valued in a completely different way, but also helped me embrace my sexuality on the other side of that, right? So I feel like it widens the umbrella of, you know, what we see as relationships, right? And that benefits all of us, right? When we talk about being sex positive, a lot of times what we're talking about is the right to do, right? The right to swing, the right to be very sexual. And that's a part of it. But it's also the other side of it, right? It's like the right to be non-sexual. And so it's all part of this really large spectrum. So even as we are like looking to enfranchise the different facets of the non-monogamous lifestyle, we can't forget that's a part of it too. And so I think like normalizing the entire spectrum ultimately helps all of us on either end of it. And swingers are kind of to a certain side, right? And so it doesn't seem like an obvious partnership. But in a lot of ways, I think it is, because we really have to remember that this is about inclusivity. And anytime we're excluding, and you know, I would say this to the polyamorous community as well, right? You can't exclude swingers, right? Like, you can't exclude facets of this community just because you don't like their emotional exclusivity or whatever, right? This affects all of us, from, you know, the most anti-hierarchical, anti-colonization, radical even, right, relationship anarchists, to the most mononormative monogamous people. We're all on this relationship spectrum, and we should be embracing that diversity, because our diversity is also what protects us, right? It's the right to be any of them.
Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned this, because a year ago, if I had reached out to a polyamorous or like a relationship anarchist to like come on my podcast, they either like wouldn't respond to me, or they would be like, no, like, no way. You know what I mean? And I just think it's so important. And like, I really think it's important, not just for me and you as content creators, but like all content creators or anybody in that space, to like have that understanding of like, listen, we can't do this alone. We have to show the world like that we are, even though we're different, like we're the same, because we all, you know, want the same thing.
And it's just really, it's the right to be ourselves, right? Like I think that this is kind of the trouble sometimes. It's like we want to pick apart, like, I don't do that because of this, or like, no, I'm polyamorous and I don't believe in that. And like, if you're really this way, then you'll be that way, right? Like that's not a good thing, right? Like we want to embrace each other in comprehensive ways, because we're all doing something outside of the norm, and it's all important, right? And people are going to move through, ideally, right, all kinds of relationship styles at different times in their lives. Like, you know, today we're talking about swinging. I've been in the swinging space, but now I'm a relationship anarchist. When you said at the top of the podcast, like, it's okay to be monogamous too, right? We forget that. Like people can move back and forth, and they need to feel like that's okay as well. And we don't want to alienate people from any of those experiences.
Right. And that includes monogamous people as well. Like that, that's all, I feel like all relationship structures. And I feel like that's something that as a community, you know, and we're all in the non-monogamous under the umbrella, right? I think that we're forgetting that, like, we also have to advocate for just any sort of, and I would definitely say like healthy relationship structure. Yeah. Like we want to make sure it's healthy and like consenting relationship structure, like, if you know, and I think that like that's the most important piece of all of this, is like, even though we are different and we think differently, and maybe we don't agree with their really, that's not how we would live our life. Because we get that so much, right? Like, I'm sure you get comments all the time of like, how dare you? How dare you be, have this relationship structure? You have no, I get it really bad. Like, you have no morals.
So one of the more wild, like, speculations that we got recently was, are you guys a triad when Heidi and CJ moved in together? And that was really interesting one, because what does it matter, right? Like, why is our relationship structure so important to other people? And the speculation, you know, was kind of unfounded, but there was not a lot we could do to combat that. And so it was a very interesting moment for us to be like, okay, like never have I ever been accused of being in a non-monogamous setup. I wasn't in, and yet there we were.
Right. Like, that's the thing. I don't understand where it matters to other people to, like, if it's working for you and you're happy. And I think about this, like, again, going back to content creating, like, me and my partner, you know, we make these silly TikToks, we make these videos, and we talk about it, but like, why does it matter to other people that me and my partner are happy living this life? It doesn't affect anybody at all,
right?
You know,
right.
It does not affect others how we choose to have our relationship structures. The only people it affects is us. A lot of people believe that it does affect your children, but if they really knew and they really did the research, they would know that it actually affects your children in a positive way. Or yeah. In a no way at all.
No way.
Right.
And I think that comes back to, like, how are we living our joy? How are we projecting that? And like, that's a very triggering thing for people, right? Especially people who are so invested in the societal and mononormative narrative of like, well, I did everything right and you need to do this that way too, right? Like, that's a very triggering notion for those people, like, that we can break the rules, be happier for it, and create communities around it. And so I think that we, you know, and we have to do this as much as possible in an out loud way so that other people feel empowered and know that these are options for them, because life is short. Why should we be miserable?
Right. It's, and like you said, it's all about cultivating your own joy and your own relationships. So before we end, if you could just let everybody know, if there's one thing that you want people to know about relationship anarchy, like the most important thing, what would you say that is?
The most important thing is that people know that this is an option for them, right? That you don't have to, whether it is swinging culture or non-monogamy, monogamy or polyamory, you know, you have options even within those structures to make it exactly what you want it to be and to form your own rules. There's no compulsory way that you have to participate in anything. It just doesn't exist.
And where can people, if they need to know more, or if they are listening to this and they're like, oh my God, Annie, oh my God, like this is speaking to me. If they need to get in contact with you find you, how can they do that?
Well, Instagram's the main place you can find, you know, 90% of my free content, which is @Annie_undone. And then I also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/AnnieUndone. And I've talked a lot about not relationship anarchy in particular, but my relationship to BDSM, to swinging, to non-monogamy on Reddit, which is kind of where I cut my teeth. So, you know, you can find me all those places. I have a lot of long form writing on my Patreon. Lots of perks, and I do my close friends list almost every day on Instagram, where I give all the juicy details of my everyday life.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm super glad that we got to connect, and I hope that my audience definitely connects with you, because I know, like, when I watch your content and I see what you're putting out there into the world, it very much connects me to a certain part of me, which I hope that's something that you were hoping to do, like, to connect people with themselves.
I mean, the point, The point is for everyone to see themselves reflected, right? And to feel like their journey is being normalized. And it's hard because I feel like I try to touch a lot of places on the non-monogamous spectrum. But your audience in particular should know that swingers are very much a part of that spectrum for me. And there's nothing exclusionary about my page, right? I have lots of monogamous followers, polyamorous followers, and swingers too. So this is not an exclusive space by any means.
Well, thank you so much. And yeah, I hope you guys like the show. And thanks for riding on the Pineapple Express with us.